Okay, so beginning a brand new sugya, where the Gemara was listing off all the different examples of avos nezikin, even though we have four that we have in the Mishnah, then another nine we have in the Brayse of Rabbi Yosha, and then another one in the Brayse of Rabbi Chiya. But when all the dust settles, there are actually 24 avos nezikin, and one of them that's mentioned is menasech. A person pours. I'm already committing myself to a pshat. Menasech, at least according to one interpretation, means I'm pouring somebody else's wine in front of an idol. So I go ahead, I'm a real mazik. I'm a halachdi. I'm such a brisk mazik. I can't think of a better way to be mazik. You, I go into your house and grab the best quality wine of yours. I look after for the non-mavushal. And it wouldn't make a difference if it's poured to the mamush. And I pour it to the idol, thereby offering up your wine, and it causes you a tremendous hefset mamon. So the Rabbi Chiya tells us in the price, you have to pay. That's menasech. Rabbi Chiya didn't make this up. There's actually a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the fifth Pech Maseches Gittin, where the Mishnah says menasech is chayev. Now, the truth is that menasech is a very, very tricky mazik, because it falls into the category of what's called the hezek she'eno nikar. It means that the hezek is not even recognizable as such. It's not like I took a hammer and I smashed your window, or I broke your arm or something. It's a halachic kind of a damage. It's a non-discernible physical kind of a damage. So that opens up a whole world in terms of hezek she'eno nikar. So we're going to have to put that on hold a little bit down the line, a couple of weeks and months, in terms of the intricacies of that part of the halacha. But we're focusing on a different angle here. We're focusing on the fact that the Mishnah does say, for whatever reason, they're ice and they're about to be chayim. Bottom line is, I pour your wine, I do an act of menasech, I am going to be chayim. So comes Tosas, and first of the Mamma comes, and makes reference to the Sugin Gittin. Tosas tells us, Pligi Babani Zokin. There is Machlekes Amaroim in the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin. Chara Menasech Mamish V'chara Ma'arev. That even the very term Menasech itself is unclear. According to one opinion, Menasech means literally to pour the other fellow's wine, the case that we described. And the other day it says, no. If you pour the other person's wine, that's not Menasech. You want to know what Menasech in the Mishnah is? Menasech is, I take some treif wine, and I pour it into your kosher wine. I mix together treif wine and kosher wine, thereby rendering your kosher wine no longer permissible to have. So that's the case of menasech. So again, it seems
nikar. That one is nikar.
Well, it's not really nikar because it's all the same. I can't really tell.
Oh, no, you can't.
You can't tell. You can't really tell.
Because it's identical.
It's an identical one. One is treif wine, one is kosher wine. So at the end of the day, the Gemara presents Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. What is the real menasech? The menasech and the mishnah, the menasech and Rabbi Chiya, the menasech that's chayav, the case of pouring wine to the idol, was menasech, the much toned down case of simply mixing kosher and treif wine together. What exactly is the issue? Where does Machlokes come from? What is Machlokes based on? So let's take a look at the sugya and gittin and the second the Mamre comes. So the mishnah says, the menasech, the shogig patur makes it chayav. If a person causes damage in any of these ways, we're going to leave out Matam and Midame right now. We'll just focus on Menasech. This Hezek of Menasech, B'shogeg is potter, B'mezid is chayv. If you do it intentionally, you're obligated to pay. If you do it unintentionally, then you're potter, which is itself raises a red flag. Why is there a distinction whether you did it intentionally or unintentionally? Generally, by Mazik, the rule is Adamur La'olam. So the reason for this is, we pass in the halacha that this is in fact not Mazik Min HaTorah. Mazik Min HaTorah only applies when you break something that's discernible. I break your window, break your arm, that's a Mazik Min HaTorah. This is only a Mazik Min Derabbanan. Chazal made a special penalty that even though the damage that you're doing is halachic and not really discernible in nature, Afapichein, midirabbanan, you have to pay as a kenas, as a penalty, and therefore, since it's only midirabbanan as a kenas, they only penalize you if you did it intentionally. If by mistake you happen to pour somebody's wine in front of the idol, which you do that by mistake, but assuming that you did that by mistake, so then make right then you don't have to pay. So, fine, that's the detail of Meiz versus Shog. What's the case? So the Gemara continues, and the second amendment comes. Itma. Menasech, Rav Amar Menasech Mamish. Rav says, the Mishnah means Kipshuto, it means you pour the person's wine to the idol. Ushmol Amar Arab, and Shmuel says, no, it means that you mix the wines together. Mandi Amar Arab, my time alone, Menasech. According to Shmuel, why did he veer from the simple pshat? The word Menasech means Menasech. Everybody knows what the translation Menasech means. It means to pour wine to an idol. So why in the world did Shmuel bend over backwards to reinterpret the Mishnah? Amalach Shmuel said, I have a very real halachic concern with Rav's pshat. Menasech kom lebed Rav minei. And that's really where our sukkah begins. Shmuel responds back to Rav and says, you're going to tell me that if Reuven pours wine in front of an idol, he's chayef to pay? He's not chayef to pay. He's chayef mises based. Because pouring wine in front of an idol is an act of avodah zarah, And one is chayav misa, chayav skila for that. So we have a basic principle. Now, whenever I do an action, it carries with it two punishments. One is the chayav misa, and one is the chayav mamon. So kumlei bedramine, namely, I give to him, he gets, the rabbi is the more serious of the two. You get the harsher punishment, maybe the chayav misa, and you don't have to pay. So Shmuel turns around to Rav and says, Menasech is just not true. You wouldn't be chayav to pay for the value of the wine if you were Menasech Mamish, because you would be chayav Misa, and the chayav Misa would exempt you from the chayav Mamon. So this, of course, puts the onus of proof back on Rav. So what would Rav respond? Rav also accepts Kama B'Dramine. What would Rav respond? So Rav responds a very, very lumdish response. V'idach, kidder Rabbi Yirmiyah. No, based on Rabbi Yirmiyah's interpretation of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah explained to us what's going on in the sugya, that kumlei bedramine applies when the chiyuv misa and the chiyuv mamon are simultaneous. But if the chiyuv mamon precedes the chiyuv misa, the person is chayev. I'm chayev from point A. I'm chayev from the first moment that I'm chayev in mamon. The fact that later I'm doing act of misa beisin doesn't do anything. Say l'moshel. If I burn down your house on Shabbos, so at the same time that I'm making the fire, that fire is mechayev me in Misa, and that fire is mechayev me in Mamon, that's kumlei bedramine. But if I do a chiyuv Mamon last week, and then I'm mechal Shabbos today, what does that have to do with kumlei bedramine? Kumlei bedramine has to be exactly, literally, simultaneously. So comes Rav and Rabbi Yirmiyah and explain, let's focus, literally with a microscope, what moment in time, give me the precise split second in time, that the menasech becomes chayev? At what point do I become chayev for pouring your wine to the idol? So the answer is, at the time that I pick it up. At the time that I pick it up, I'm already chayev, I'm already a gazlan, I picked up something that's not mine. So mishasek ba'otekana. So I'm already kind, I'm already obligated in paying for the subsequent damages at that moment in time. When do I become chayev mises based in? Hours later. What, 10 seconds later, it doesn't make a difference. The second that I pour the wine to the idol, that's when the basin gets, that's when the Edom tell, that's when the Mechayev Misa is basin. So says Rav Rabbi Yirmiyah, since we can differentiate between the two moments, albeit by a split second, that is no longer in the parasha of Kamim Dramine, and therefore Menasech can be Menasech Mamish. Now, of course, this, we cannot turn the sugya around and say, well, wait a second, what would Shmuel respond to that? Rav is so right, Rav's distinction is so obvious, how come Shmuel didn't accept that? So the Gemara never asks that question. That's where the Rishonim begin. That's where the sugya begins. So there is some nekudas hamachlokes. There is some point of contention between Rav and Shmuel that's taking place here, and we're not quite sure what it is. Everyone agrees to the basic tzur of the sugya. Everybody agrees that there's a principle called kibbutz ramini. You can't argue with that. It's a pasuk in Chumash and Pashas Mishpatim. Kibbutz ramini exists. Everybody agrees kibbutz ramini applies only if it's simultaneous. That can't argue with that. Otherwise, it's absurd. Obviously, kibbutz ramini only applies when the two are at the same time. Everybody seems to agree that in the case of Menasech, there is a delayed mechanism, there's a delayed reaction here, that the Shaschi of Mamon is earlier than the Shaschi of Misa. So, l'chora, if all three of those facts are correct, so then Rav is right. So why would Shmuel disagree? So what nekuda did Shmuel see in the parasha of Menasech, the din of Menasech, that caused him to disagree with Rav and to turn the Mishnah on its head? Because Shmuel gave a very, very, almost like a forced interpretation of the word Menasech in the Mishnah, because he held that Rav's interpretation was halachically incorrect, because Kama B'Ramine is staring us in the face. Where's the Kama B'Ramine? It's not the Vasachas. It's not at the same time. So we have to fine-tune the sugi a little bit. So the point that we have to fine-tune is, how do you define at the same time? What exactly constitutes the same time and what not? Clearly, Rav and Shmuel are using different clocks. Clearly, Rav and Shmuel are using different definitions of simultaneous. So what are the two different definitions? What is the machlekes? What's the kudus of machlekes in terms of how do you define simultaneous and not? So that's our sugi. So we have 10 recurrents to try to figure out what simultaneous means. What exactly does it mean, things of Vasachas?
What does it mean, Shasak Bar? We're not talking about that he was Kome, meaning like he stole it.
Oh, very good. Excellent, excellent. So, L'chora, from the fact that the Gemara does use that phrase, the Kona sounds like a phrase you use for a Gazlan, not for a Mazik. So it sounds like, yes, he was, that he was actually Kone. If I take a sledgehammer and I smash the window of your car, I was never Kona, I never picked it up, and never been a Maisik Kiddi, never been a Maisik Gazela. So we can only nail me for being a Mazik. Mashenke, if I pick up your property and then I destroy it, so then I may be worse than just a Mazik. I may be a Gazlan also.
So we're obviously molded then that Menasech, Alt Menasech, is a Hezek that happens before Zacha.
But the Chiyav Mamon began, that's true, but the Chiyav Mamon kicked it beforehand. So once the chiyuv mamon kicks in before, and the case is closed, you have to pay mamon.
Because the Gemara has this numerous times. It's not the only case by Menasseh who talks about it. You kick it about first.
That's the next segment. Look, Shmuel Shlomo Alf. This is exactly what we're going to start.
Which Shmuel saying that. It's talking about Zachas. Rav is molded that it's really, yeah, it is talking about
Zachas. Right, but Rav is saying, that the Chi of Mammon begins before, but why doesn't Shmuel concede to that? Because Rav's right. B'shas kabo de kona. So what happens to the simultaneous? I'm always afraid to say the word simultaneity or something. There is a word like that. I can never pronounce it properly, so we'll just say b'chulei. So you know, like they say, the person's trying to write something, and you can't remember. How do you spell received? Is it I before E, before I? A new way to spell received. It's called G-O-T. You change the word. I got it. Instead of I received. No problem. So let's take a look at that. Yeah.
Why does the Gemara call it Menasseh? It's like you're defining a well, you're saying like this is Menasseh, but then it's this Geneva. So
but the Chiyav really is only because you ultimately destroyed it. If you didn't ultimately say, if the wine's still around, then you just give it back, so then nothing really happens. So you're right. It's almost a ganav, right? It almost should be another case of a ganav, but it's a ganav that causes a damage, but it's a damage that's only halakhic in nature. So therefore, it's not classic ganav either. It's not classic ganav. It's not classic gemazah. It starts off as a ganav, but the real punchline as to what ultimately results in my having to pay is the hezek shen nikar. So therefore, it earned its own category.
So this has been bothering me since you started. Exactly what happens? He picks up a bottle. From the bottle, he pours before the Avodah Zarah.
Right.
All right, so certainly that which he poured out, there's no question about that. That's gone. He would have to pay for that if, in fact, there was a payment required, right?
Well, I mean, unless you say that that's Kimav Drami. That's what Shmuel said.
Yeah, unless you
Shmuel
say that.
Shmuel said Kimav Drami.
Okay, my question is this. What are we arguing about? What's left in the bottle?
Well, the wine that he poured in front of the idol, he poured into another bowl, he poured into something.
Oh,
like
so that still exists.
Yeah, it still exists.
So we're not talking about what's left in the bottle. We're talking about that which poured out.
So the sugya really begins in Maseches Ksubas, as Seth pointed out, that this sugya of how exactly you define the moment of truth in terms of being Pazachas really, really begins in Maseches Ksubas. So once we understand the Gemara Ksubas, then we can come back hopefully to the Gemara Gittin, then eventually come back to the Gemara Mavakamah. So the third of the Mamakamos, the Gemara begins with the following, Gufa, Amar Rav Chisda, Meidir Rabbi Chuni ben Hakana. Rabbi Chuni ben Hakana concedes, so we don't even know what he said in the first place to know what he concedes about, so we have to go back before the Gemara even starts. There was a machlekes Rabbi Nechuni ben Akana, one of the Tanar, Rabbi Nechuni ben Akana, and the other Chachamim. They had a machlekes about the parameters of Kamud Ramine. We always think of Kamud Ramine as a person is Chayim Mises Beisdin, and the Chayim Mamon, simultaneous, that's a Ptur. And we're right in thinking that, because that's the case that the Chumash depicts. The original case of Kamud Ramine means that two guys are fighting, and they hit the pregnant woman, and now the question is, they cause a miscarriage, so they have to pay for what's called the Bei Vlados, the value of the babies. But wait a second, the Torah says, but if somebody got killed in the process, that's also a question. Who got killed? The person you were fighting with or the woman? That's also a shayla, how to read those psukim. But if somebody got killed, then, or better off, then you don't pay money. That's what the Chumash says. The Torah says, v'lo yeh ason, then anosh yeh, then and only then do you pay the cash of the Dmei Vladus. So that is the model of Kamud Ramine. So the model of Kamud Ramine is describing a Misas Beis Din. That's exactly the way the Mishnah describes it as well. The Mishnah in the end of the third paragraph of Avakama describes the person who it burns down somebody else's house on Shabbos, or the person who causes a wound to his parents. So there's a Chiyuv Misas Beis Din for Makav Imo, Chiyuv Misas Beis for Chil Shabbos. So the Chiyuv Mamon gets lost in the process. That's called Kibud Ramine. Come to Tanoim and other Machleik is what if the Chiyuv, the Onesh that we're talking about, is not a Misas Beis Din, it's a Misa B'dei Shemayim. What if it's a type of an onesh that's not meted out by Beis Din proper? It's an onesh shemayim of what's called a misa. It's albeit a misa b'dei shemayim. Or what if it's a kares? So what if a person does something that carries with it an onesh of kares together with a chiyav mamon? Would we say the rule of kamav ramine or not? So most of the Torahim say no. The Torah describes a misa's Beis Din, onesh b'bei adam. You cannot extrapolate to other cases. And Rabbi Nechudu ben Akana disagreed. How did Rabbi Nechudu ben Akana know to disagree? That's the first daf in the third Rebbe Ksubas. It's a pasuk. It's a whole story to try to explain Rabbi Nechudu ben Akana Shita. In the end of the day, we don't even pasnik Rabbi Nechudu ben Akana. But when you learn the third Rebbe Ksubas, you spent the first 6 months just learning all the intricacies of Kilma Dramine through the eyes of Rabbi Nachum Ben Akana. So it's, you have to give a karas atov to Rabbi Nachum Ben Akana for introducing to us all the details of Kilma Dramine. But it's a little bit of a letdown because at the end of the day, you don't really even pass like him. But again, all the Torahs are right, even though that particular sheet is not accepted. So comes the Gemara and says that although Rabbi Nachum Ben Akana accepts the equation between Kares and Misas Beis Din, but the buck stops here in the following case. Gufa, third of the man. Comes Amr Chizda. If I steal your chalev, why would I steal your chalev? If you have ever seen chalev up front, I don't know why anyone would ever steal chalev. I'm not sure why anyone would ever eat chalev. But that you decide you have the tremendous yitzhara and you steal somebody else's chalev, and then you go ahead and eat it. So now the question is, what are you chayev or what are you not chayev? So Chizda says that you would be chayev mamonus. You're chayev for the act of genevas ha-chelev. Why is that? Even though you did an act of achilas chelev, which carries with an ownership kares, and according to Rabbi Chulim HaKadah, that suffices for kibbutz raminei. Which says, why are you chayev mamon? Shekvan is chayev b'genev ha-karim shevodei is a-chelev. Because you became, it's not the same time, you became chayev for genev before. You become chayev for genev the minute that you break in and you steal the person's chelev. You don't become chayev for achilas chelev until you actually eat it. So therefore, mamon preceded the quote-unquote misa, i.e. the kares. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, this is going to be very labedic. Lema pligad Rabbi Abin. Does this statement of Rav Chizda disagree with what Rabbi Abin said or not? What did Rabbi Abin say? Don't Rabbi Abin. Hazari chaitz betchilas arba l'sof arba v'kara shirayim b'halichas opotur. A person shoots an arrow on Shabbos, dalet amos, in Rosh Hashanah. Guy's got to be a real lamda. First of all, he has to find the Rosh Hashanah. So he finds the one Rosh Hashanah left in the world. I don't want to say which it is. Is it Route 4? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know what the one. The one Rosh Hashanah left that we still have. Probably not. We hope not. But there's one Rosh Hashanah, and he finds the place, the 600,000 people, whatever the definition of Rosh Hashanah is. And he goes in and he shoots an arrow, dalet amos in Rosh Hashanah. And that is an act of Chilul Shabbos D'oraisa, and one would be Chayev Mises Beizin for that. Interestingly enough, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that the source of this din of Havar Zalam Rishus Rabim is Halach Moshe Mesinai. It's not even in the Torah Shabbosav explicitly. It's pure Halach Moshe Mesinai. Doesn't matter. One is still Chayev Mises Beizin for that. So the fellow shoots the arrow from the beginning of Da'an Amos to the end of Da'an Amos, so he's definitely a candidate for Skila. But in the process, Karashirayim, he rips through somebody's clothing. The person had his silk clothing right smack at the 2 amah point, and the arrow goes right through and rips through the clothing, and then eventually lands. So now you get a very, very long shaila. Is he chayev to pay for the nezek or not? What's the shaila? If you would ask me, I would have said, of course he's got to pay for the nezek. The nezek preceded the chiyam misa beis din. When does the chiyam misa beis din kick in? At the time of hanochas hachefetz, that's the first mishnah in Shabbos. When it's only chayev for chil Shabbos, if you pick up an item and you put down the item. Until that act of Anoch happens, there's no Chilul Shabbos. Those who remember the Super Bowl Shia, so we spoke beyond Richos about whether the throwing of a football, the kicking of a football, or any of the above, is the halach equivalent of Zorich Chetzanat vis-a-vis Chilul Shabbos. So those who are interested can check it up on the YU Torah archives from 2 weeks ago. But in at least the case of shooting the arrow, so I would have said that that's a classic example of the Chiyah of Mamon preceded the Chiyah of Misa. So Rabbi Abin didn't say that. Rabbi Abin says, no, the person's potter. Why is that? Akira Tzerech Anochi. That's quite a loaded term. The simple reading of that term is that we don't say that the Chilul Shabbos happens only at the moment of Hanocha. It's almost like an ongoing act of Chilul Shabbos. That the Akira and the Hanocha really merge and fuse together to be one Maisa. Since the Akira, the goal of the Akira is to get to the Hanocha, we say that there's one long Chilul Shabbos from Akira to Hanocha. Any Chiyah Mamon that's incurred anywhere in the middle is covered, is exempted by Kilma B'Rami. That's the simplest, that's what Tosfos says, that's the simplest prat in Rabbi Abin's statement. So Rabbi Abin is mechadish, that's this idea that you take a Maisa Aveira and you expand it a little bit, you extend it a little bit. You don't focus on that split second, but you focus on even the prerequisites, even the preparatory stages for that Aveira can also be subsumed under the category of the Shas Aveira, and that impacts in Kilma B'Rami. So the Gemara says, according to Rehabin, let's carry it over to Achilles Chalev. The person who stole the Chalev from his friend, and then he eats it. So why are we so picking and saying that? No, the Aveira is only the eating of the Chalev. Why don't we say, The picking up of the chelev is part and parcel of the aveira. It's the preparation necessary for the aveira of the achilas chelev, and therefore let's label the ma'aseh aveira as being a long, long aveira. We'll draw this whole window of shas aveira from the moment of picking up the chelev to the moment of eating the chelev.
Doesn't require an akira.
Oh, okay, that's going to be part of the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara thought that it should be similar. And if that's the case, so then we should say that that should also be covered by Kivan Dravide. So what's the conceptual difference between the shooting of the arrow where we do, no pun intended, shoot the Ma'aseh Aveira back a little bit, in contrast to the case of the Chelev, where we keep it in place and we don't shoot it backwards? What's the difference? The Gemara says, are they really arguing? Maybe there's a machlokes. Yes? The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, not, it's not a machlokes. Hachi hash, the Gemara says. Hasam I evsha lahanocha b'lo akira. Says the Gemara, in the case of shooting the arrow, there is no way to get an arrow to land without first picking it up. You have to first shoot it in order for it to arrive at the place where you want to get it to arrive to. So since it's absolutely necessary, it's critical for the akira to take place, then and only then do we merge the two together, fuse the two together, and say it's a long, one long ma'is of akira tzorchanacha. In the case of the eating of the chelev, it is true that you personally picked up the chelev, that is true, but that was not necessary. You could have just, I can't say just as easily, literally, but you could have eaten that chelev without picking it up. How? Get in your hands, so the Gemara talks about that also. The Gemara says you don't have to do that. Get in your hands and knees, and start looking away at the chelev on the floor. You could do it. I'm not saying you're going to do that, but you could do it. You could get on the floor and eat it without picking it up, since you could theoretically get on the floor and eat it without picking it up. Therefore, the picking it up is not an integral part of the Ma'aseh Aveira, and therefore we cannot extend the Shas Aveira to cover Kilim Dravid. That's the first answer to the Gemara. That whether or not you apply this principle of Kiyusah Hanachah depends on physically, practically, is the first stage absolutely necessary or not. Inami, the Gemara gives an alternate shot. Inami hasam ibay lahadura lamatzi mahadala. There's another reason why there's a difference in the two cases. In the case of the shooting of the arrow, the minute you shoot that arrow, it's out of your control. It's out of your hand. You can't stop it. Since you can't stop the arrow, then and only then do we view the shooting of the arrow as an integral part of the one long ma'isa. In the case of the picking up of the chelev, I picked it up. I'm walking over to my chair in the restaurant to eat. I can stop right then. I can stop right then and there. I'm in control. I'm in the driver's seat. Since I could stop it at any given moment, we don't go retroactively and view the beginning of the ma'isa as the picking up, and that's going to impact why Kibbutz Menominee will apply. So the Gemara gives two reasons, very fine line reasons, where the case of the shooting of the arrow is not identical to the eating of the chelev. Either the focus is the picking up really truly necessary, or the focus is the picking up something that is potentially reversible. Those are the two factors that the Gemara presents. So now, of course, our sugya is going to begin with that background. Namely, where does Menasech fit into this picture? Is Menasech closer to the model of Zarek Chetz, or is Menasech closer to the model of Gonev Esachelev? Wherever you think Menasech is going to be, that's going to impact on the Machlokes Rav Shmuel, and it may be a Machlokes which one Menasech is closer to, and it may depend upon to fine-tune what the difference between all these cases is. And we really have a lot of our work cut out for us. What we've seen so far today are three different scenarios where you have these questionable, almost like extended periods of time of Aveira. You have Menasech as a potential one that qualifies. You have Gonev Chabash Chavevi Achol, that's potentially one. You have Zorach Chetz, Kashi Raim is one. And hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, next week we have to fine-tune why you should or should not say the svara of one long ma'aseh or not any given one. And that's really where the sugya is going to begin. Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll continue this point.